We're so blessed you joined us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Carrie, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And if you tuned in last week, we were talking about Acts 1, 1 through 11, and Jesus' ascension. And we also discussed the Heavenly Father, that He's all-knowing, that He knows the dates, the times, and the seasons of all of our lives, and His authority is already set.
I love that. It's just so powerful. We also learned that Jesus is still in the business of preparing. He's still answering questions. He's still teaching. He's still physically present, and he's always waiting, pointing them to the Father and challenging them to wait, because they still have, they want it to happen now. And
kind of like us.
Some things don't happen in our time frame. We want it to, right? It's so crazy. I absolutely love this passage. Okay, so let's read Acts 1, 1 through 11, or maybe 12. Does it go through 12? I think it's 11. 11.
Mine stops at 11.
That's what I had.
Okay. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
So beautiful. I love God's word. Thank you for reading it. May God honor the reading of his word. So I wanted to just point out something that I didn't at the opening and just reminded myself as Carrie was reading. One of the things that a commentator said that you have to notice that Luke says after the suffering of the cross. he didn't say, just the cross. He made sure that he said the suffering. And that is because we have to understand that Jesus is the suffering servant, that in his passion he was willing to die in our behalf. And so that's the reason why he points out that the suffering. And so that is one of the things that we need to have about Jesus that we were talking last time. What do we learn about him? Is that he is willing to suffer in our behalf. And so not to forget that. So let's now look at what can we learn about the disciples. Tell me all the things that you remember about or see about the disciples.
I just remember they obeyed after he commanded them to wait.
Okay, so they obeyed. What else?
Their expectations were still a little bit off.
I put down they're still questioning. It's off. I like your off better.
Yeah.
Would you say there's trust?
At the beginning, you're saying?
Well, just in the Acts, this 1 through 11, do you see trust?
I think they trust that he's going to do what he says. They just don't know what it is that he's saying he's going to do. I think they don't, the clarity is not.
That's good. I like your word clarity. I was going to say clueless.
Together we can do this.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. What else do you see about them? Would you say that they're men that want to know? Would you say they're hungry to know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. They're hungry to know, even though they're confused. So that's actually a good thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think you've got to be hungry for the word.
Yeah. Okay. How would you describe their watching him go up? What do you think's happening?
Well, I think they're surprised or not sure of themselves, what's going on, because they're still watching and he's gone. until the angels tell him he's not there anymore.
Is he coming back down? Like, what's up with the cloud? The last time, you know, we had a cloud, it was when he was glowing, and then we walked down the mountain with him.
Yeah clouds are a big deal. Yeah, with God.
It's always shows up. We'll go into the Shekinah glory and on another radio show. I actually have that all written out. But yes, it's like, so much that they have happening with them. Do you think that I think that they're not argumentative. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And even though they're clueless, they're still receiving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So earlier, Sandy, on the other show, you said it's important we have to be where we're willing to receive.
Right.
And I would definitely put them in a position of they're still receiving. Mm-hmm. They're not yet the ones that are the givers, but he's giving them the knowledge they need, because they're going to move from being the receiver to the giver. This is, you know, how you have those moments where you can describe something in your walk with Christ and you move from the one receiving to the one that's giving that truth.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's this moment.
Yeah.
And it's profound. So I'll just give an example so people can understand what I'm trying to describe. I was standing in line. I was at a women's conference, and this was a long, long, long time ago. And the young lady, her name was Michelle. Her husband, Randy, was in seminary. And we were at this women's event, and we're being fed amazing truth and fed amazing food. And she said, "Oh, I feel so bad because my husband's probably going to eat peanut butter and jelly all weekend because he's studying for final exams, and I'm here being spoiled while he's studying so hard." And when she said seminary, I had this like moment where it's like, what? I go, "There's no seminary in Houston." And she said, "Oh, yeah. There is. There's an extension program from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary from Dallas-Fort Worth area that's here in Omaha. I mean, in Houston, that mm-hmm. meets at HBU. And I'm like, no way. And in that instant, I went from receiving to I could not wait. Like, I wanted to stop being at the conference. I wanted to go home and I wanted to research because I knew I was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. Mm. They're still pulling in, but this whole thing that is happening is culminating into a split second where it's going to be, wait, we go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We go. You will go and be my witnesses. Mm-hmm. And so they are having a major transition happen to where he's leading everything and we're following. And now all of a sudden, in a split second, when he goes up into the sky, they're now the ones that have to go. Mm-hmm. And they're the giver. Mm-hmm. And I know each of us have different times where you have that moment and you can't really explain it to somebody why you know, but it just a transition happens inside us mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, mm-hmm. spiritually, and we don't turn back. And that's what's happening right here. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. And like, it's just so profound for me what is happening.
And you know, using the word received, we've talked about it twice now. In verse 9, it says, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Mm-hmm. I never saw that before.
Yeah.
That the cloud received him.
Yes.
Yeah. So heaven's opening up their arms for him. Yeah.
Yes. And we will talk about that later.
Oh, sorry.
You're good. Sandy's like, "I want the Shekinah."
I do. Well, I do. Bring it on.
We'll get to. I could. How much time do we have?
9 minutes.
Okay. I'll do the Shekinah here and then we'll go back because you keep bringing it up. So
sorry.
Let's do it. No, that's all right. So I was caught by that. All right. And then so what I do is I start, okay. So a cloud again. How many times does the cloud appear? Mm. What is the cloud? Who is the cloud? Why the cloud? What does the cloud represent? And commentators say that that is the Shekinah glory of God. Mm. So the Shekinah glory of God is a moment that at first you need to know is that Shekinah is a term that doesn't happen in Christian theology until a couple of years later, after Christ's ascension, when they're creating the Old Testament, New Testament, like divisions and things like that, they refer to different moments where the evidence of God's manifest presence, of Him being present, the Shekinah glory. And so, and I actually, like, if you two look, it's like a lot of material on this. And so that's what happens here. And so it's the moment when not just the Son, but the Father and the Spirit are completed and their presence is there. And so they were literally watching the Father envelope Him.
Is this the same cloud that led them, and the same cloud that all, this is all the same thing throughout the Bible?
Right.
Okay.
It's the same one that shows up at the Transfiguration. It's the same one at His baptism, where it comes in a voice.
I'm proud of Him.
And, and so here are some of the, when the Lord's presence, so here, I'm just going to read it. It says, it was describing the very presence of God, and it's used by rabbis in reference to the Lord's presence amongst the people. And so it's seen in Exodus and multiple places in 1 Kings. The rabbis often use this term to reference the glory of God when He fills the place and the space. So the glory of God filling the temple, the glory of God in the presence of the cloud, the glory of God dwelling upon a mountain. And so, and there's plenty, like more than I should list out. And then another way of describing it was, is when that glory presence is evident. So the phrases of the Bible, they fall under that, cloud, the cloud of the Lord, the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, the pillar of cloud, the presence of the Lord, His radiance, the thick cloud. There are other times that it's described more as like the pre-incarnate Christ. And so the moments when they refer to like the priest of Melchizedek showing up, that would be another. And in the New Testament, it's the manifestation of God's presence and the presence of Jesus. So when it says when the Word became flesh, that would also, or the fullness of His deity dwells in bodily form, that's in Colossians 2, it talks about, or when it says the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And those are all descriptions of the Shekinah glory of God. And I just, when Sandy and I had a Bible study yesterday, and we just by God's coincidence, we were also doing the Ascension. And I had been studying this and just meditating on it in preparation for the radio. And I just couldn't even almost speak because it just, it caught me like the beauty of the fact that once again, they are allowed to be in the presence of God. It's just, wow. Wow. It's just so incredible. Blows my mind. It just makes you want to sit and think. And
that's quite quiet sometimes.
And no wonder they were gazing into heaven, right? That's no wonder.
Absolutely. Seeing that cloud. Speechless. That's a good word for it.
Struck dumb.
Struck dumb. More like it.
God forgive me. Sandy. Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I was trying to explain this to my friend that I just met with earlier. I was trying to explain this to her because we were talking about it. And I said, you know, that with His presence, the miracle is not that Jesus walked on this earth and we saw glimpses of His glory. Because what I just read to you.
He concealed His glory.
Right. It's the fact that He concealed it the entire time He was here.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And so... So that's the amazing part, that He didn't allow it to be seen. So blow your mind. Once again, they get to see it. So let's start. We're going to start taking all of these different things that we've been looking at. And I'm going to start. So why do you think this is important? Why is the Ascension story important?
Well, it completes the finality.
That's good. That's good. What else?
You know, because we've got to believe in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ascension is where, yeah, just finalizes.
That's so
finalizes
good.
And approves, like we
were
talking
like
about
the proof
earlier, mm-hmm. right?
I like that. I like mm-hmm. that you said, is it approves or did you
proof.
Say proves?
Proves.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to add the to it because God's glory showing every time the Shekinah glory shows up on Jesus' ministry, it is an affirmation mm-hmm. of his son
yeah.
at his
Baptism.
Mm-hmm. This is my son whom I'm loved and well pleased. Mm-hmm. At the transfiguration, this is my son. Listen to him. You know, it is to affirm and approve so that men will stop their stuff and will pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so proof and approve. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why else? Can you think of anything else? Apart from the fact that they needed to have all these truths that we just went through about the Father and the Spirit.
Mm.
So I'm going to start listing out some things that God put on my heart. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he starts telling them what they're supposed to do, I want you to see that the strategy, like he's very strategic. And that's one of those things that I have made an intent when I am here. There's y'all's word. I was intentional.
That's our word.
I am intentional. That when I am reading the things that Jesus says, I'm actually reading it with the intent to see how he was strategic in giving the people what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
He gives them what they need to know and what they need to do always. Like within his conversations, of those that are disciples that are being trained up by him.
And he also uses their culture.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The fishing.
The parables.
He
yeah.
always
oh,
is
yeah,
really
yeah.
good about putting it into something they can
always.
Recognize or understand.
Completely. And so I want you to be thinking through this passage on how he strategizes. And I don't think we're going to have enough time to cover it all. And so you'll have to come back next week. In fact, I might just hold off on putting on these four out there. And so, but he's strategic. And the disciples are the recipients of that strategy. And at this point, they should understand when he talks, he's telling us, like, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. I mean, think about the resurrection. What did he do? John, look at your mother. Mother, uh-huh. look at John. He is strategizing, telling them what needs to happen. And here is his last moment, physically present with him, and he's doing it again. It's so beautiful.
Mm.
So you need to come back next week so that you can hear what happens. Thanks for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We're so glad. We would love to hear from you. And we just want to say thank you to the donors that make this possible and for the Open Door Mission. We're so blessed. And if anyone's listening from the mission, my ladies, I love you. Thanks.
Amen.